Friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying discipleship lessons in Luke's Gospel, and this is Appendix 1F, Shepherds in Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Let's pray. Father, we come to this familiar story. We pray that you would speak to us anew in it and help us to see the power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, a story that I know is familiar to you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You've heard the Christmas story dozens of times, but I want you to slow down and consider what it was like to be a shepherd, seeing and hearing what they saw and heard that night. I've taken some effort to research the various aspects of the story and the angel's message. Shh, quiet now. The sheep are resting quietly. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Tending flocks with agriculture formed the basis of the Palestinian economy, and sheep raised on the hillsides around Bethlehem may well have been destined for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem, only 6 miles to the north. Jeremias describes a shepherd's life. The dryness of the ground made it necessary for the flocks of sheep and cattle to move about during the rainless summer and to stay for months at a time in isolated areas, far from the owner's home. Hence, herding sheep was an independent and responsible job. Indeed, in view of the threat of wild beasts and robbers, it could even be dangerous. Sometimes the owner himself or his sons did the job, but usually it was done by hired shepherds, who only too often did not justify the confidence reposed in them. Some of Israel's great heroes were shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. Both Psalm 23 and Jesus compare God's care to that of a good shepherd. But in the first century, it seems, shepherds, specifically hireling shepherds, had a rather unsavory reputation. Jeremias cites rabbinic sources to the effect that most of the time they were dishonest and thieving. They led their herds onto other people's land and pilfered the produce of the land. Because they were often months at a time without supervision, they were often accused of stealing some of the increase of the flock. Consequently, the pious were warned not to buy wool, milk, or kids from shepherds on the assumption that it was stolen property. Shepherds were not allowed to fulfill a judicial office or be admitted in court as witnesses. A midrash on Psalm 23, verse 2 reads, "There is no more disreputable occupation than that of a shepherd." Philo, a Hellenistic Jewish philosopher of Alexandria, 25 BC to 45 AD, wrote about looking after sheep and goats. "Such pursuits are held mean and inglorious." In contrast to rabbinical contempt for shepherds, however, Jesus distinguishes between the good shepherd and the hireling. He tells a parable of the shepherd leaving 99 sheep in the fold while searching the hills to find the missing one. Perhaps this is because Jesus, who has fellowship with the despised and sinners, knows and appreciates them as people. There is no suggestion that the shepherds to whom the angels appeared were not devout men, though they were from a despised class. They live most of the year outside, away from the townspeople. Abiding in the field is the Greek verb agraleo, live out of doors. Flocks were kept outside in this way from April to November, and sometimes during the winter in suitable locations. They were constantly with their sheep, since the sheep were vulnerable to all kinds of trouble. Keeping watch is a combination of two related Greek words. The verb is phylasso, to carry out sentinel functions, watch, guard, the noun phylake, the act of guarding. Together, they carry the idea of keep watch, do guard duty. The shepherds made sure that the sheep were safe from wandering off and injuring themselves, as well as dangers from thieves and wolves. One minute, the shepherds are talking quietly in the blackness of the winter sky. The next moment, the hillside is ablaze with light and booming with the sound of an angel's voice, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This appearance wasn't at a distance, but up front and personal. Appeared is the Greek verb ephistemi, which here means to stand at or near a specific place. Often this use of the verb occurs with the idea of suddenness. The brightness is more than just mega candle power. It is the radiance of God's own glory. Glory is the Greek noun doxa. Here it refers to the condition of being bright or shining, brightness, splendor, radiance. Throughout the Old Testament, the presence of God is referred to as overwhelmingly bright, burning as fire, such as the cloud above the temple by day. God's angels sometimes bear this same bright glory. In this case, the glory shines around the whole area. The result in the shepherds is predictable. Abject terror. Terrified or sore afraid reads literally, feared with a great fear. The angel moves to calm their fears. Verses 11 and 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This good news angel has the enviable task of being the first herald of Messiah's birth. Bring good news, or bring good tidings, is the Greek verb euangelizo, from which we get our English word evangelize. Here it means bring good news, announce good news. Later in the New Testament, it is widely used for proclaim the message of salvation, preach the gospel. The message the angel brings is very good news that results in joy. Joy is the Greek noun chara, experience of gladness, joy. Here joy is intensified by the Greek adjective megas, great, pertaining to be above standard in intensity. Great joy. Notice how broad is the angel's message. It's not just for the pious or the Jew, but for all the people. What wonderful news for those who are estranged from God and struggling under oppression. The baby is not just born to Mary and Joseph. Verse 11 indicates that the baby is born to you, to the shepherd recipients of the message and all others. This birth is unto everyone and to everyone's benefit. It is also an immediate message, today, this day. The town of David reminds the reader of the Messiah child's connection to his ancestor David. Prophecy indicates that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. What a fitting prophecy for these Bethlehem shepherds to recall. Micah 5, 2-3, and then 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Finally, the angel utters the words that Jews had longed for centuries to hear. He is Christ the Lord. The angel terms this baby as a Savior, Greek soter, one who rescues, Savior, Deliverer, Preserver. In the prophecies about Jesus' birth in Luke 1 through 3, we observe this theme several times. Chapter 1, verse 69, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 171, Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. 177, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. 2:30-32, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And chapter 3, verse 6, And all mankind will see God's salvation. Chapter 4, verses 18-19, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This Savior will bring both salvation from enemies and from sin, but not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, all people. Our word Christ, of course, comes from the Greek adjective Christos, anointed, fulfiller of the Israelite expectation of a deliverer, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. The Hebrew equivalent, Mashiach, is transliterated in English as Messiah. In the Hellenistic period of Judaism after 331 BC, Jews came to use Messiah to designate a future agent to be sent by God, usually to restore Israel's independence and righteousness. However, there is some variation in the way Messiah figures were pictured. Not all the references are concerning a Davidic Messiah. Hope for this coming Messiah is not centered on religious concerns primarily, but in some kind of triumph in the last days. The Jewish expectation alluded to in the New Testament seems to be an expectation of a divinely appointed royal deliverer who will purify the nation. The angel's declaration, however, doesn't use the word Christ by itself, but in the phrase Christ the Lord. Lord is the Greek kurios, owner, lord, master, of earthly beings as a designation of any person of high position. When Jews read the Hebrew scriptures, whenever the divine name Yahweh appears, it is never pronounced, but the Hebrew noun Adonai is substituted. The Greek Septuagint Old Testament usually employed kurios, Lord, to translate the Hebrew Adonai. What did the angel mean by putting these two words, Christos and Kurios, together? This phrase is used nowhere else in the New Testament exactly this way. A minor textual variant renders it, the Lord's anointed, but the meaning seems to be the highest conceivable and most lofty designation of Christ, that is, the Lord Messiah, or the Messiah and the Lord, with connotations of kurios used of Yahweh himself, rather than just of an exalted personage, a Savior who can be regarded as the Messiah Yahweh. When the shepherds, and later Mary, begin to ponder the angel's exalted title for this baby, the implications are staggering. How would the shepherds know that the angel's message is true? Verse 12, This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Sign is the Greek noun semeion, a sign or distinguishing mark whereby something is known, sign, token, indication. The sign consists of two elements. The baby is, one, wrapped in cloths, and two, lying in a manger. Baby is the Greek noun brephos, a very small child, baby infant. The term can even be used of an unborn child or fetus. The phrase wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths translates the Greek verb sparganao, to wrap in pieces of cloth used for swaddling infants, wrap up in cloths. These were strips of cloth like bandages wrapped around young infants to keep their limbs straight. There's nothing unique about being wrapped thus. While an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes would be a newborn, there were perhaps several newborns in Bethlehem wrapped up in this manner that evening. However, the second sign was that the newborn would be found in a manger. That was unique. The Greek noun is phatne, manger, crib, feeding trough. A manger would indicate the location in some kind of stable. The second century legend indicates that this was in a cave. After the angel's startling declaration, the heavens revealed a huge crowd of angelic beings. Verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon whom his favor rests." The crowd is described with two phrases. One, great company or multitude, Greek plethos, crowd, throng, host, assembly. And two, heavenly host. Host is the Greek noun strateia, a military term that means army. God's heavenly army is mentioned several times in Scripture. This heavenly army is praising God. The Greek verb here and in verse 20 is aineo, to praise, with the root idea of express approval. It may have been a heavenly choir, as in popular Christmas lore, but the Scripture doesn't explicitly say that they are singing as angels in Revelation. Here, they seem to be chanting in unison or speaking, Greek lego, utter words, say. The content of their praise is, one, to give glory to God, and two, to offer a blessing of peace to men. Glory is the Greek noun doxa, which we saw in verse 9. Here it is used in another sense, honor as an enhancement or recognition of status or performance, fame, recognition, renown, honor, prestige. Glory is often used in the New Testament in the context of praise. These angels honor God as being highest in a spatial sense, in contrast to earth, mentioned in the next phrase. The angels promise peace, peace between God and mankind, which essentially amounts to salvation. We're used to the word, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, King James Version. But more ancient Greek manuscripts indicate that a better translation is, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests, the NIV. The idea is that God extends his peace and salvation to his favored people, those whom he sovereignly chooses or elects to favor and save. Now the shepherds have a choice. Verses 15 to 18. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They hurried to Bethlehem. Where do you find a manger? In a stable, of course. So they check out the stables in this village and come across one with a baby sleeping in it. They meet the Holy Family and share with them their story of the angelic visitation. Then they go and tell others what the angels have told them, just like the villagers did after the remarkable birth of John the Baptist. The NIV's translation, spread the word, seems to miss the point, which is rendered well in the King James Version and New Revised Standard Version, they made known what they had been told about this child. The angel's announcement of a Savior, Christ the Lord, is spread throughout the area, resulting in amazement among the hearers. Verse 19, But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. If you are Mary, you have much to think about. Luke uses two verbs to describe her thinking process. Treasured up, or kept all these things, is the Greek verb syntereo, to store information in one's mind for careful consideration, hold or treasure up in one's memory. Pondered is the Greek verb symbolo, a compound word made from sin together and balo, throw, which means here, to give careful thought to, consider, ponder, something similar to our colloquial get it all together. Consider what she has to make sense of. One, her own announcement of the birth by Gabriel. Two, the story of Zechariah's vision in the temple, which she has heard when she visited Elizabeth. Three, Elizabeth's prophecy. Four, her own prophetic praise. And five, Zechariah's prophecy when John the Baptist was born, which she may have been present to hear, a lot for a teenage girl to integrate into her own understanding and circumstances. Verse 20, The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The final scene in this passage is the shepherds climbing back up the hill to where their flocks lie. The angel had told them what to expect, and that's just the way they found it. God, we leave them glorifying, Greek doxazo. We leave them glorifying and praising God. What are we disciples supposed to get out of this telling of the story of Jesus' birth? Several things. One, God brings good news to the poor and humble. The shepherds, sometimes despised by their countrymen, were the first recipients of the good news of Jesus' birth. Since God is no respecter of persons, we aren't to show favoritism either. Two, the glory of the Lord is powerful and huge. Just because we don't see it visibly doesn't mean that God isn't active. He often works in quiet ways. Only occasionally does he confirm his presence in miraculous ways. Three, Jesus is the heir of David. Four, Jesus is the expected Savior, Messiah, Master, Lord, God in our midst. Five, the good news is for all people, Jew or Gentile. Six, not all people, however, receive God's peace, but only those whom he has sovereignly chosen. Don't let suggestions of predestination trouble you. Be humble enough to allow God to be sovereign beyond your own meager understanding of these things. Deal with it. And seven, appropriate responses to this good news include great joy, praise, curiosity to confirm its truth, amazement, telling others, and thoughtful meditation. Nowhere do we see unbelief. Let's pray together. Father, what an amazing night the shepherds had. To have a glimpse of your heavenly glory, to hear a mighty army of praise, to see the Messiah child, to listen to the angel recite his glorious title, Savior, Messiah, Lord. Thank you for letting us hear the story again. Write it large and indelibly in our hearts, that we might be fervent good news tellers too. In Jesus' name we pray.